allowed.
I think what Mr. Blackburn is referring to is that there is some language in the ordinance that gives exemption to certain features on buildings. It specifically calls out steeples, crosses, and mechanical units such as elevator shafts. I believe, and we'll have to have Mr. Seabeck answer this, but I believe it was his opinion that this structure did not meet the criteria that would allow an exemption without a variance.
Okay, we can follow up with Mr. Seabeck when he gets back. Any other questions, staff, this time? Mr. Lawson, I was looking at the site plan and there's a comment there of Landings Association property between Downey Causeway and this property. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir, it is.
Bob, when you leave, you're most wanted.
I apologize. I had to answer that one.
No, you're fine. Mr. Blackburn had a question.
Yes, sir.
Why does this not meet the ornamental?
Well, I understand why they want to do what they want to do, but it's essentially 25% higher than the approved height of the building. And I feel that there's an alternate way. They said they'd like it to designate where the entrance is. And there's other ways they could do that. For example, they could put the name of the building at that portion, or there's lots of other ways with signage that it could be designated as the entrance and make it clear. It just seemed like it was 25% beyond what was already approved seemed excessive to me. I can't, it's just my opinion.
How is it different from a steeple?
It appeared, and I can't answer this, maybe they can clarify this, that it could be occupied as an observation tower, the way it's designed. And that may not be correct, but I had no way to make any judgment on that based on the information I had.
And you are saying that it is not, in fact, an elevator shaft or an extension of the elevator?
I don't know.
But it could be.
It could be, yes.
So, Austin, can you pull up the two items that are facility entrance, Indigo Hall, Skidaway, and then also the stair tower? I think those give us a couple of renderings.
Yeah, these are some renderings that were provided by the petitioner, not this specific building, but examples, I believe, of what they're proposing.
I have a question. Staff is recommending approval, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But Mr. Seabeck is giving me the impression that
he's the reason it had to come to us.
Okay.
His interpretation.
Okay. I got you.
Yes.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you, Marcus. Anyone here for the petitioner? Come forward. Have you signed in, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Please state your name.
Victor Apat.
Victor Apat?
Apat.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Bill. Mr. Apat, if you'll raise your right hand.
Yes.
Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
So while Marcus is finding the colored rendering, so a couple things I'll note. So the tower itself has nothing above the third floor, so second and third floors are simply porches relative to the units behind them. So there is no other function relative to the top portion of the tower, as a concern that Mr. Seabeck had mentioned. There is no elevator shaft or stairs enclosed as part of that as well. So yes, we do believe it's a good, way to indicate that that's where the front entrance is. But more importantly than that, it's a fairly long elevation, and the true purpose of this tower is to really break up that mass. I think our architects did a wonderful job of trying to create the appearance of multiple houses, kind of in a townhouse environment put together. Also done a great job creating a coastal feel so we can be part of the community. Ultimately, again, as I would note, in the entire length of the building, it's simply this small piece of the tower that goes above the rest of our building. I would note the top of our building is actually 44.6. We're actually 6 inches below the required maximum height. I'd also note, just for the sake of general information, there are already precedents within the village area of other structures above the 45-foot limit. So a couple of them will talk about the Marshes. Their building's at 65 feet. Our top peak of our tower is at 56. So we're already 9 feet lower than the Marshes at the tower. Our overall mass of our building at three stories, again, is 20 feet lower than the Marshes. For the sake of the village clock tower, it's at 60 feet. Again, we're at 56, so we're 4 feet shorter than the village clock tower. There are a few steeples that are in the 45 to 50 foot range, but again, above the 45 foot limit. So there already have been precedents for variances, assuming there have been variances in the past, to allow heights greater than the 45 feet. I think you'd agree it's a very attractive building. And again, the main purpose of that tower is to break up that long mass and that long elevation of the wall. Really no other main purpose. It gets a secondary advantage that it also shows the residents where the main entrance are. Or if they're visitors to their homes, it also shows them where the entrance is as well. As mentioned at the beginning, we are narrowly focused simply on that tower today. So beyond that, I think we like the building. We are happy to be becoming part of the community. I would note also to date that we've had several community meetings where we've presented our plans. It's been extremely well received, and I have several members of the community here as well who simply love the design. I would also note, for the sake of how well it's been received in the community, that we are already fully booked and we haven't broken ground yet. Okay, any questions for me?
How many units are there?
So again, as mentioned earlier, so we have 100 independent living units, 33 assisted living, and 12 memory care.
Any questions, any other questions of the petitioner?
Thank you, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Is anyone here to speak on behalf of the public? Come forward. Have you signed in, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, please state your name.
My name is Bo Anders.
Mr. Anders, please raise your right hand. Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
First of all, members of the commission, Skidaway Island residents, and others in attendance, I've said I'm Bo Anders. I come here today as a concerned resident of Skidaway Island, representing over 230 concerned fellow residents who have agreed to sign a petition for presentation to the MPC, plus the many residents who have no idea what is about to happen to our village. These are residents right here from Skidaway Island. I want to start off by saying up front that the vast majority of the signers, including myself, are not against a new independent assisted living facility coming to the island, even one of this magnitude. What they are concerned about is how little interaction has come about between the developer and the community at large. The idea of this project came up more than a year ago. Since that time, many of us have sought to get information about the location, size, and style plan. Until last week, we saw no pictures of even one building in the facility, and then only after Jim Overton sent it to me from the materials for this hearing. This entire development process has been conducted under a cloak of secrecy. I am sure it was designed to meet legal requirements, but it was not conducted with the residents of the community at large in mind. A week ago, I corresponded with the leaders in our community and other residents, and only then did a presentation of the facility get presented last Friday to 200 residents per the Landings Association. There are roughly 8,000 residents on the island, And one primary concern is the shock that will come from those who haven't seen the plans when the property trees are removed and replaced by these large structures. The location and size of this project, described by some as a large motel, located at the main entrance to our quaint village, will forever change the essence of our community. It will overwhelm this part of our daily lives with traffic from staff and residents. It's the main entrance into our village. Other concerns expressed by the group include the need for an architectural review by an independent body, more information on the coverage ratio and amount of hardscape of a wall-to-wall parking lot around the building, a traffic study regarding access to our surrounding roads, an environmental impact based on sanitary sewer capacity and water availability. We are here today to request a continuance of this hearing so that more of our residents can interact with the developer to better understand and hopefully buy into supporting this project. Once again, this is not about a senior facility, but it is about understanding the significant impact on the living environment for our residents. I will now read a brief petition for submission to the commission. To the members of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, while we do not oppose the Indigo Hall project coming to our small community, we are opposed to the proposed design of their facility. It is not just a matter of their requested height variance. Rather, the large monolithic design is out of keeping with the aesthetics of our community. Frankly, it looks more like a hospital or hotel than a caring partner in the Skidaway lifestyle. That lack of sensitivity will impact the image of this project long after they open for business and prevent us from ever considering them as a welcome neighbor. We would ask that you reject the current request and ask the developer to reconsider the design of the project as well as devise and present an appropriate facility communication plan to the community at large. I have attached to this a list of 233 signers that were gathered in merely 4 days. So I present that to the Metropolitan Commission, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Are there any...
Yes, sir.
Questions
of the petitioner? Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You've said nothing about the height variance. Your objection appears to be because of the size and scale of the project and its entire footprint.
And lack of communication with the community.
Well, what... Please, can you address the specific request that they have for the height variance for the tower?
I will do that. This picture here is a side view of the building. You're only seeing half of that building. That building faces the Diamond Causeway. That tower in the middle, right? Sorry. Can you show just the full frontal view? It's not it's just a diagonal. To the left of that building is the Methodist Church, Skidaway Island United Methodist Church. That tower rises 11 feet above the church. The fact that they're talking about other buildings in the community that are taller than that, the Marshes is taller than that, but the Marshes is not in the center of our community. Marshes is right off the end of the bridge. It's wet among trees. This is a very tall building.
This is like
does the
month.
Methodist Church have a steeple?
No. It does not include the steeple of the Methodist Church.
There's a clock tower somewhere in the village, isn't
it? I'm not even sure where the clock tower is. Is it at Smith's? What's the clock tower at Smith's? It does not have a steeple as far as I know. I don't really pay attention to it.
Answer your own question.
Any other questions?
Anything else for Mr. Anders? All right.
Thank you.
Is anyone else here from the public to speak on this matter? You'll come forward, sir. Have you signed in?
Yeah.
And please state your name.
My name is Ed Conant, and I live in Skidaway Island.
All right, raise your right hand. Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think we're sort of at this point, and this is a question for the Planning Commission. I have a sense we're rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, talking about the steeple. The issue is...
I must be able to help with that real briefly. So we're not the Planning Commission. We're just the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals.
Well, that was my question. Thank you.
So we only have authority over this height variance. I believe the Planning Commission a year ago heard this matter in the same room and approved a zoning change that allowed this to go forward. And now they simply want to have the 11 feet for the tower, and that's the only thing we're hearing today, the only thing we can address here.
Well, then, if, excuse me, who can address the fact that what organization, because I admit to being a rookie in this business, but who can address the fact that reconsidering the monolithic size of this structure, which I could talk, I want to, before I, before I ask that question, point out a couple things. The developer said the marshes is higher, which is true. It's also hidden by trees. It's set back, I don't know, several hundred yards from Diamond Causeway, and I don't even notice it. Sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't. This thing will be a garish look as you come right down Diamond Causeway. So, regarding the question about the clock tower and other things having a similar height, they do, but they're also hidden. But here's my question: How do we get to review this? And I agree with Mr. Anders. The communications have been terrible. We haven't seen anything, haven't heard anything. And once we did, there's been a minor revolt. I mean, that we've got a lot. How did we get here? So there's my question: How do we go back as a community, as concerned citizens, to get someone to reconsider the entire project?
My understanding, and I'll let Mr. Lawson speak to this, but I would assume before they had an MPC hearing, there was a sign on the property showing that there would be a public hearing. And
yes, Mr. Chairman, the when this item came before the Planning Commission in 2016, it was for a zoning request. To establish this is a special use approval under the zoning regulations. So the zoning procedures were followed from a notification standpoint. That means that what we're required to do by law is notify adjacent property owners within 300 feet and have them post a sign or several signs, in this case on the property, for the rezoning, as well as ads in the newspaper associated with that. So all those things were done at that time, and to answer the gentleman's questions regarding the architectural review, the way this project has gone forward so far is that the zoning was adopted by the County Commission, or the special use, I should say, was approved by the County Commission after being approved by MPC. The site plan review is a combination of a review between Planning Commission staff and the County Engineer's Office. Neither of those bodies has authority as it relates to architectural review. Their charge is to ensure that the development meets the standards of the zoning ordinance, which includes things like parking, buffers, setbacks, height, all those things that are associated with being able to approve a development. And what those do not include, architectural review. So that is not within the purview of either the Planning Commission or the county.
So the Land Association, as the adjacent property owner of that piece of land, would have received notification?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And also I would add that it's my understanding, and perhaps Mr. Apat might testify to this, is that the Land Association does, however, in this case, have to approve the landscape plan for this property. That's what I was told. So I would, if the board wanted to verify that, I would recommend you bring Mr. Apat back before you.
Okay. Lee,
I'm sorry, I got lost in all the organizations the gentleman mentioned, but who looked at the size of this building and said, that's okay? Who approved it? What organization approved it?
The Planning Commission and the County Commission.
The county commission saw these renderings of the size of that building?
Well, I should add that the size of the building itself is not reviewed from the standpoint of whether the size is okay or not. It's reviewed from the standpoint of whether it meets the standards of the zoning ordinance. So the scale is only limited by whether or not it meets things like maximum building coverage on the lot, whether it meets the setbacks, whether it meets the height. In this case, it does not, so that's why it's before this board. The density of the development, those things are all reviewed. I think what's the question you're asking is not something that is reviewed in terms of the scale of the building.
Exactly.
If it meets the standards, then we are bound to approve it if it meets the standards. And in this case, it did outside of the height.
So here's the question. And this is what people don't like about government. And that is that a developer who understands this business, we don't, he put something together. Apparently, the size, the scale of the building, I think what you just said, was not particularly approved by anybody. No one really knows about it, despite the fact, supposedly, there was a hearing some months ago, which no one knew about. And so now, all of a sudden, the community is enraged about this. And we're saying, how did this happen to us? And we look at our government, and they followed the rules, and the developer followed the rules, and here you are. So the question for us is, how do we go back and fix this and get the developer to go back and do something that fits our community? If it's not you, who is it?
The horse is out of the barn.
Now that's the way this whole thing was planned. The horse is out of the bound, barn, the community could do nothing. And that's not the right answer.
Well,
it may be technically the right answer.
It's technically the right answer, plus the fact that the rezoning was coming was advertised in the newspaper. It was also advertised with signs on the property.
Do you know where the signs are?
If you pass down Diamond Causeway to get home, then the signs were there to inform.
I'd like to show the picture that was the overhead picture of the trees. Now I'll show you where the sign was posted. I mean, if that's what our indications are going to be. I took a picture of it this morning.
Signs posted. This road is a dead end. Actually, it goes around the corner. There's no businesses there, and it's going to be subsumed as part of the project. But the sign was posted down here. That's our indication where the sign was posted. Now, people, this is a business. This is a busy street. This is a huge street, and they put the sign around the corner. Now that is a problem.
Twice.
In both cases. So I go back to the same point.
The problem we have is that doesn't tell us whether the two signs or more were posted at the time of the rezoning and the approval of the site plan, which was done over a year ago.
So let me get back to my original question. What do the citizens do now who are now seeing this and say, wait a minute, what is happening to our community? Who do we go to? If it's not you?
You can petition the Planning Commission or petition the County Commission to rehear it or to do something. And I'm not sure that doing that now would not violate the property owner's rights.
But once again, let me clarify this.
I want to let Mr. Lawson speak to that question for a moment from kind of the
Well, I think everything that Mr. Blackburn has said so far is absolutely correct. And the thing that we typically recommend in circumstances like this is that the community simply work with the developer. They haven't broke any ground yet. They do have a set of plans that they're working on. It would be our suggestion that, and I'm sure, I would assume that the developer would be willing to sit down again with any interested parties and talk about the design of the building. I was told, or he testified earlier, that there have been some community meetings already, but I think it would be best that you all petition him directly and say, let's have further discussion about this design. They haven't broken any ground yet. They don't, you know, they haven't got to that point yet. So it's still, in my opinion, time for you all to work directly with them, because this board, you know, obviously don't have any authority as it relates to the design review of the building. But perhaps the community working directly with the developer is the best course of action at this point.
Well, I would say that's a suggestion. Unfortunately, the developer, if it's been approved, he can trump anything we can offer.
At some point, you're probably right. It's private property, and people have private property rights.
Right.
You know, within the neighborhood, obviously, you have the Architectural Review Board. This is outside of the neighborhood. And you know, that's, people have property rights. I don't like everything I see either, but you can't change someone else's property.
The staff gentleman spoke earlier, and I think you said that there's nobody who is actually, no government authority has actually approved the mass of that building. They approved the site plan, they approved the setback, but they didn't look at that picture we had up earlier and say, that's okay. Is that right?
That's right. There's just not that ability, that degree of authority to say whether or not, other than it meeting the standards, whether or not something is, quote, too big, too small, too, you know, the wrong color, whatever, you know, what have you. There's just no architectural review within our regulations that we can lean on. And so we do review site plans for conformance with the zoning ordinance standards. Those standards do not include scale like they do, say, for example, in the historic district downtown.
And that's where I started. This is a situation where people don't like government because it fails us. We never got a chance to see this. The community's in a revolt. You can't do anything about it. You've recommended we work with the developer. He has all those trump cards. I just think we've been failed by our government. No one has ever seen this. No one has approved the mass of that building. They approved the plan and the setbacks and all that. So that's my view, is we have this thing thrown in our laps at the last minute and told we can't do anything about it. And it's a failure of the process. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And
I'm going to
ask anyone else from the public. So have you signed in, sir?
Yes, I have.
And please state your name.
I'm Dr. Clyde Olson.
All right, Dr. Olson, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I will. I've been a resident of Savannah for the last 48 years. 24 of them were at the landings as a very early resident. I left 15 years ago to build a house on Dutch Island. I plan to come back in 2 years. To be a part of this Indigo Hall. When I heard there was a variance on the docket, I was nervous because at 82, time is important, and I didn't want that two-year period to be extended. So I decided to come. And what I've heard is, I think government hasn't failed you folks. You failed yourself.
Sir, you could just address us.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I think some parties feel that government has failed them. I think they've failed them themselves. I don't live on the island. I plan to return. I knew a year and a half ago what was going on, and I did my own research. I think if you look online to any of the upscale retirement communities, that this is certainly comparable. I care about the landings. I care about the landings since I've been here. I care about the village. I think this is part of progress. This will enhance the village, and I think this will be an excellent addition. I think if you come over the bridge, the first thing you're struck by is the mass of the marshes that quickly dissipates, but you know it's there. So I think this is not the first structure that's been characterized as a massive building. There's another one out there. Thank you. I appreciate your allowing me to speak.
Any questions or comments of the witness? Is anyone else here from the public? All right. Have you signed in, ma'am? And please state your names.
Andrea Stokins.
Stokins, do you swear your raise your right hand? So you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
It will be.
Okay, thank you.
I'm asking about procedure at this point because I hear people saying government has disappointed them. There's a couple pieces that even from the meeting the other day, so I'm asking you all really procedurally. There has been no traffic study that has been accepted as adequate for this purpose. Was traffic not part of what the zoning commission would look at? I mean, this is a little two-lane road that the entire world's going to turn into to get to that. I don't know if there's an easement that has to be granted by the Landings Association, but I know that the concern that people are having already is this is less than half a block into this development. On the plans that they showed the other day, one of the people showing us the plans actually told us there was a gate. And then the traffic person said, no, there's not a gate. There couldn't be a gate because you'd have people stacked up out that, you know, the back of the site is not where they're going to enter. They're going to enter at that non-existent pretend road right now and go into the property, the full length of it. That's a stoplight. And I will say, when you say that there was adequate notice, when the county was contemplating putting a traffic circle into our intersection, there were signs, articles, there was more information. Every church had a big bulletin board. So I don't think it's disingenuous to say that the people that heard about it were looking for information. That's not how anything works, because we're in the government. We don't always pay attention to what's going on until it's happening. But I want to know, we're no traffic. Impervious coverage on this site is overwhelming, but I'm told there's spray fields, which means nobody cares about stormwater management because there's a lagoon behind it. It's kind of hard. Every time I get a bill from the water company, they tell me I'm not allowed to use more water than my property used 10 years ago, but this property used nothing for the last 10 years, but it's going to add 140-some units.
I understand what you're saying. We're only here to talk about
I know height the height variance, and I understand.
We're not the body that addresses
no,
anything else.
I get that. I mean, that's why the people that I'm here with will say, I said, you know, this is a done deal in a lot of ways, unless any of their zoning was contingent on a traffic study that hasn't been secured, approved yet, unless they need a variance from the Landings Association to cross into their property.
None of that has to do with this.
No, but I'm saying, when you say it's basically the property owner has rights, it's a done deal, what rights are still retained by the community? Or there was just a stamp a year ago and we're going ahead with it?
They will have to follow the law. That's the rights that are retained.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, that they will have to follow
I'm from
the
Dallas.
Law
I used to have to deal with this law. They'll have to follow the law, but...
Of this county.
But can you tell me what the law of this county required to approve a site that we don't have traffic studies on?
I'm not sure about that, but let me ask you a question. This is a senior living facility.
Correct.
Now, I may be unusual because I have a 90-year-old and 92-year-old parent, both of whom still drive. But my observation is most people in their 90s do not drive.
Pretty sure everybody working there will, though.
And the people working there may, but the residents will not be driving for the most part. particularly those in memory care.
Well, I talked to the state, and I'll ask the developer. They haven't applied for memory care licensing yet. So they're saying it's going to be memory care, and there's a section, but they haven't been granted.
And that part's irrelevant to this hearing.
Right,
and
I get it.
Ma'am, but you can go after another person speaks, but we're not going to have a free-for-all today.
Oh, come on. That's what zoning hearings are all about. You know?
not my hearing.
We should have brought 50 people with signs. I used to do this. The reality of it is the variance is the cherry on top of the sundae. I get it. It's whether or not people want the sundae. I would suggest that not granting the variance would be an asset to slowing the whole thing down, because it's monolithic the way it is. What?
Or they just move forward without it. They don't need this variance.
No, they don't. But visually, they will struggle. It won't be the pretty building that they've got on their other sites. And when I say pretty,
I guess I asked the question, why would we want it to look worse? And I say we because I'm your neighbor as well.
Right.
So
why would we want it to look worse?
Yes.
Why are they coming for a variance once they've already got all the plans done, so they want it to look different?
They want to make it look better.
So they didn't think about what the building looked like until they got these architects' renderings.
I guess my question is still, what is your opposition to the 11-foot variance request?
My opposition is that it's out of scale to the community.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Sir, I think you were next.
Yes, sir.
Have you signed in?
Yes, I have.
And please state your name.
Chuck Mitchell.
Mitchell?
Chuck Mitchell.
Mr. Mitchell, if you'll raise your right hand, please swear your testimony this morning will be the truth. Thank you.
Full disclosure, I'm a commercial real estate broker. I brought the buyer, J.C. Lewis, through this deal. I have been paid on that deal, so I have no more further axe to grind on it. I'm a 33-year resident of the Landings, now as part of the original development team at the Franiger that did the Landings. There are a lot of issues raised here today. They're all well-intentioned. Mr. Anders has been a wonderful asset to Landings and served the community very, very well. But I did notice he did not expose the fact that I believe he's on the board of directors of the Marshes. There may be a little axe to grind there. That's why I wanted to get my axe out, because I don't have one. Anyway, the issue is the height. And we've talked about a lot of issues here. We're not
going to have people talking in the audience today. I'm just not going to be here for that. We're all volunteers here. You're here to express your time. We're going to be respectful, okay?
Thank you. We've talked about a lot of issues here that really are not relevant to the issue that you're hearing today, which is the height variance. The height improves the visual aesthetics of this property, the setbacks, the variances that exist within the village, the clock tower we built at Brandiger, the steeples are out there, all higher. It's really not much of an issue. The traffic, we approved the Landing Village Center many, many years ago. The traffic study was built in the original study for the Village Center. Had to have been. The use for this site, as Mr. Blackburn kind of hinted at, is a lot less intense than whatever would have been if Mr. Curtis Lewis had sold it for retail and office development with people coming in and out constantly. But we're not here to go over these issues one by one. It's a visually attractive building. It's in proper scale and keeping with the Landings. They've got 240 petitions out of 85 to 10,000 people at the Landings. Most people out here are really excited about this thing. The Marsh has been in capacity for years, has a waiting list. People are forced to sell their homes to get them, and the waiting list name comes up. This provides an alternative, and I think most people out here are tremendously supportive of this. And I am very supportive of the height thing, even as a Brandiger person or private individual.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. Who's next? Come back up, petitioner.
Victor Aragon again. So a couple things. We're happy after the new year to meet with anybody and present the plans. The only reason that we had not gone community-wide is that we needed to have correct information before it disseminated into the community. It's always our intent to have a community-wide meeting end of January, early February. We intend to move forward with that and make sure that it is full disclosure, because we want to be part of the community. So I'm very straightforward in that regard. So the only reason that, again, this variance and the issue of the sign, 243 people found the sign, so obviously the sign was very visible. I'd happily show you on this screen
that
Diamond Causeway, all of these trees, TLA property, so not ours, so they're blocking the view of our building. We have to go 20 feet in, so all of these trees are being retained. And then our building from the right-of-way is 184 feet back from the road, or further back than Methodist Church, further back from Presbyterian Church, further back from the road than the Marshes. So ultimately, sure, there will be some visibility, I think, from the road, but it'll be very limited. Will be no more visible than the Marshes is along down the causeway as it currently exists.
While you're standing there,
yes.
So on the Lake Drive there,
yes.
Will those trees be retained along the road as well?
Yeah, so again, the 20-foot section we have to maintain. Again, this is the golf cart.
The sidewalk golf cart pathway, so 20 feet in from there also has to be retained as well. And I would note, again, we're using the existing entrance, so we're not adding an additional entrance in. This is almost 250 feet back. We have done a traffic study, shows no impact beyond what was contemplated from the 2014 traffic study that the Landings Commission. I would also note, as the gentleman mentioned, the impact of vehicles into the community is also substantially less. Nobody drives into memory care. 20% of the people in the assisted living drive. Our employees are very limited, and when you compare, actually have five lots versus the four that are noted, the intended commercial use of the five lots, the number of employees that would have been employed by those buildings on those five lots is greater than what we're employing, and the number of cars total for our entire project.
Any questions, Ms. Rapat? Thank you. You hit my question. You started out, I was going to ask you about the tree coverage, and you come right there. That's my curiosity.
Can I speak?
Yes, ma'am. Have you signed in?
Yes, I have.
All right. Please state your name.
Ann Hackett.
And Ms. Hackett, please raise your right hand. Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have just a small observation, but I think it's significant. Talking about the easements and the setbacks, along the Diamond Causeway, yes, there is a small buffer of trees and vegetation. Excuse me. Then there is a very wide swath of open land because there are high tension wires there, which will never be forested and should not be forested. So going from the small buffer to the big diameter, if you'll have it, or easement of the utility, then to go backwards, you are going to have a lot of clearance and maybe minimal vegetation that would obscure the building structure.
I think what Mr. Rapat was just saying was on the other side of the high tension lines, where there's a tree line,
right,
that there will be still 20 feet of trees that they can't disturb,
right,
on the property line.
Right.
So past the high tension. So
I understand.
Landing Association, high tension, 20 more feet of tree. Buffer.
20 more feet. And that vegetation is smaller, not high, to obscure the building height. So that's just observation as a driver, as a resident, and also kind of like saying that the buffer is not all that it is had to be to balance off the dimensions of the building. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public to speak on this matter? Any petitioner or anything else? Anything else from staff?
No, sir.
All right. Any discussion?
I think the real issue is whether or not this 11-foot variance of the central tower would be a detriment to the public of the zoning ordinance. And, we're not here about what the mass and scale of the development is. Those are not the issues that we're addressing. Theoretically, those have been addressed by the Planning Commission and the County Commission. So I'm ready to make a motion.
Any other discussion? I'll simply state, one, I want to thank everyone for coming out. I think community involvement is important. Personal note, it's my community as well. I care about it. I drive by it every day. Chip's there as well. But, it's change is hard, and it's hard to see something that was all trees become something that's not all trees and vegetation. And, you know, this property was meant to have something there at some point. And we're not here to discuss that part of it. We're only here to discuss this tower. So I like to stick to what our scope is here. We expanded it here today to hear people out because people care about this issue, and I wanted it to be heard and have some explanation while staff was here. I think it was a forum for that. But this motion is going to have to be limited to this tower of 11 feet. There's no further discussion. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation because relief, if granted, would not cause substantial detriment to the public good or impair the purposes and intent of the zoning ordinance. And it would break up the monotony of this development, and it would provide some visual relief.
I'll second it.
Properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion now? If not, we'll vote. All right, the motion passes, and Ms. Hitch, would you like to comment?
I would just say to the residents of the Landings who oppose, it seems to me the developer has expressed twice here today that he is willing to meet with you and to talk with you. You do have the ability to talk about the barrier, the buffer, vegetation, and so forth. The Landings was notified of this zoning change. The community churches were notified. Many people were notified. The Landings has many means of communication, the twaddle and other distribution services. Perhaps y'all need to talk to them about notifying the residents by handouts, mail, or whatever method you see fit to notify every resident.
Thank you. Is there any other business today? Well, happy holidays. Happy New Year to everyone, and see you in January.